Welcome to the Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA, a show that helps you learn how planners can generate significantly more wealth now. Nathan will answer your questions about business or personal finance or how to increase current cash flows and generate retirement savings to make sure you're on the right path, and so much more. Whatever your financial goal, Nathan can get you there faster. And now, here's your host, Nathan Ross.
Welcome to this Sunday's Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA. We're glad you can join us. And as we always start off at the top of the show, I'm going to remind you that just because you hear a strategy or of an opportunity that you might seek to pursue, please don't do it without checking with your existing advisors, be it legal, tax, real estate, etc. And if you don't have set advisors, then feel free, of course, to go to our website at baplanner.com. And if you'll look there at the top right, we've got a link for forms. And then right next to it, we've got a call link. And what we would prefer you do is fill out the forms. There's four steps there. If you just do even the first one, that'll give us enough to have a conversation. So once you've filled out the first form, the client profile, feel free to go ahead and click the call link and set up a convenient time for us to chat with you about your goals and objectives and get an understanding of how we might be able to work with you and help you. If you're looking for a CPA, we're certainly willing to listen to those needs as well. It'd be nice, again, if you could fill out the form, because it allows us to talk specifics as opposed to just shooting in the dark about what your current situation might be. And as to what we do on the show, especially, and then, of course, this mirrors what we do for clients, is we try to help you understand what you're signing up for when it comes to real estate private partnership syndications. And, you know, it's an area that is absolutely one of the best for creating wealth, especially as you head to retirement. It has significant tax advantages. It has cash flow advantages when you compare it to other asset classes that you might choose to invest in. And our focus specifically is real estate and typically apartment buildings that a group of investors are joining together. $50,000 to $100,000 a piece, or more in some cases, to go and purchase those, 200 to 800 unit apartment buildings. And we not only consult on that topic, we're also investors in those same type properties. And so, you know, we're eating our own dog food, so to speak. And again, we understand how to read private placement memorandums, PPMs, and company agreements, much more so than most lay people would, and that's where we provide value, is helping you understand what you might have missed in that, 200 to 300 page document stack that's part of every transaction. And then we also look at the underlying metrics, the math metrics, as it might be, on the projections that are done or provided as part of the back and forth between you and a syndicator or client relations staff that you may be dealing with. And you know, a lot of times they tend to gloss over some of the details, and we will try to help you understand what the market or submarket is showing for the current stats, you know, rent rate, rental growth rate, new units coming into the pipeline for that area, absorption, all sorts of metrics that can color a deal and cause you to either hit the pro formas or to fall short, in which case you don't make near the money that you might otherwise have thought you would. So we want to help you understand, provide you with questions that you can ask the syndicator, so you don't get taken unawares. It's not to say that the market won't change. I mean, if you back up 5 years, I can tell you that most syndicators did not call project the interest rates to have risen to what they have. The supply chain changes, pricing, availability, et cetera, is another thing that would have been hard to see 5 years ago. But, you know, the problem is you've got transactions that only originated a year ago that have been hit with those things and act like, well, you know, we didn't know, or, you know, the market just changed all of a sudden. And I guess I would suggest to you that, no, it didn't. There's been quite a few economists and others, even people in the industry, explaining what was going on. So for people to act like they didn't see it, I'm not sure I agree with that. But nonetheless, we'll try to help you see it, and while you've still got your money in your account instead of another party's account, i.e. the syndicator. So in any event, as we typically start off every show doing, we go through some of the recent news. I've got several articles that I've added since the Friday morning show that we do here on KSEV. And you can see those articles at the resources page out on the BAPlannerShow.com site. It's our companion site specifically for the radio. And if you go out to that site, you'll see we've got quite a few articles, but they've all got a date tag on them to where you know effectively when they were added. So let's go to that page. I've done a good job of hiding my page. Let's see, where did I put that thing? It's buried here. I can just tell you the gist of some of the articles while I'm still looking for it. And here they are. First article, I think, you know, any of you that have been trying to buy a home this year may already realize this. It's not news to you, perhaps, but 2023 has been the least affordable year for buying a home on record. And I've forgotten, I've glanced at that article rather hurriedly, but it's, you know, it's a wide time range. I forget what period they're looking at, but it goes back a ways. But they have hope for 2024 that you're going to see, in fact, as the second article says, the housing market may be thawing because the mortgage rates are on a slight decline, and there's more listings being added to the MLS, I suppose, and that's been a problem as of late because people that have a home to sell haven't been willing to put it out there when they don't think anyone can get a mortgage. And then there's others that are finding creative finance or owner finance strategies are working. It's better, of course, if you don't have an existing mortgage, but even in that case, there are some strategies that can work, and typically the benefit of those strategies are to get the seller the number they want to sell, and at the same time, it accommodates a buyer that may have trouble finding the mortgage. But in any event, the other thing I put out here today is an article that was just over a week ago, and this is just kind of a, you know, consumer beware type thing, or consumers that are using title companies. There was a major hack right at the end of November that affected a lot of the title industry, because Fidelity National is the parent company of a bunch of title companies. They acquired a lot of them over the past few years. Chicago Title is one of the big names, and there's others. I know we've got a transaction in San Antonio that was affected, and it was not any of the name brands that you see here, but they were tied into the processing of Fidelity, as are many of the smaller companies. But in any event, I know I grow weary of all the warnings. You know, title companies send you warnings, banks send you warnings, and all I can tell you is you got to pay attention to those warnings. It's crazy how this the benefit of computers is also the curse if it's in the wrong hands. But in any event, that article is very brief, but it basically gives you the information, and there's a link to I believe it's Crane's Chicago business magazine or online newsletter, etc., that'll give you more deals or more details. Let's see, what else do we have that's notable? According to Zillow and Redfin, and of the two of those, I would probably tend to put more stock on Redfin. But in any event, they're projecting 2024 you know, the interest rates, I believe they're saying, let me look here, it said, yeah, the prices of homes will go down, and the, let's see, the mortgage rates, I was hoping they gave us a range here, but they're saying that it's not going to be until late 2024 that you'll see lower rates, and the rates are in some cases just out of control. I know I've got a client that was trying to get a secondary mortgage for a home they wanted to use part-time, and they swear it was a conventional mortgage company. I didn't ask the name, but they were getting quoted 18% type financing for a secondary mortgage, and I don't know that that's the norm, but they said it was, because they've looked at several, but that's crazy. And I guess if you go back to my comment earlier about creative finance or owner finance, why wouldn't an owner that could want to avail themselves of owner financing? You know, if you don't have a mortgage, for instance, and you've got a home that's on the market, boy, what a marvelous opportunity to get an income stream for, I don't know, 5-10 years, whatever you feel comfortable offering as a term before it would have to be refinanced. But those are amazing rates. But in any event, Redfin and Zillow are suggesting that the mortgage rates will drop down to the 6% range by the end of the year. And Zillow, I think, is in that same ballpark, and then I believe they've got Realtor.com chiming in saying that the mortgage rates will average about 6.8% for the year, and reach 6.5 a year in. You know what? These rates, I mean, again, I'm an old guy, but I can tell you that if you look out, look back over my lifetime, you know, I was born in 1960, this is pretty much the average mortgage rate range that we're in right now. These are not high. I mean, gee, I can remember buying a home in, when was it, like 86, 87, where we were lucky to be able to assume the mortgage of the existing buyer. I think it was at 12%, and new money would have been much higher. I've forgotten what it was, but I think it would have been 16, 17% maybe. So, you know, 7%, even 8%, that's not high, folks. I mean, that's what we're going to call normal. It's just when you look at how cheap money has been, which is part of our problem with our economy, is so much money was dropped into the economy over the last 5-6 years. But in any event, 6 to 7% historically was pretty normal in the mortgage business. But anyway, let's see. Do we want to talk about? I think that's about it. I guess I will mention we talked about this on Friday. You're down to a couple years now before the tax brackets are going to go back to where they were for before the 2017 TCJA Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, and so that is going to change those brackets on average probably 2 to 3% more tax if it catches you just right. And I would tell you that's most people. But in any event, there's still time to plan. The biggest planning strategy that we see and that you're reading a lot about, it gets a lot of Google searches these days, is the concept of converting your pre-tax retirement dollars over to the Roth, either IRA or 401. Let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a break. We'll come back and I'll talk briefly about those two options, the Roth IRA and the Roth 401. We'll be right back with more of the Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
With all you do, your attitude just seems to be so good. How do you keep it? Well, I'm not the Dalai Lama, but I'll try to offer up a few words of advice. You better get to living, giving. Don't forget to throw in a little forgiving and love along the way. You better get to knowing, showing a little bit more concern about.
BeAPlanner.com wants to ask you, when's the last time your tax pro called with a way to save you taxes? Seriously, do you want to work with a planner or a reporter? A planner knows which tax code sections are the best wealth accumulation tools. Less tax, more profit. Learn more at BeAPlanner.com. The Be A Planner Show with Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195. 713-581-0195. Or you can send an email to Nathan@npross.com. Nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Song Bobby McGee, I'm just longing to be free.
big dreams and faded tears.
Okay, welcome back to this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before we took a break, I was talking about one of the simplest and actually probably the most beneficial thing you might do in light of the fact that our brackets are going to be changing here real soon, 112026. And then that's just the bracket change that's already baked in to the existing code, meaning that the 2017 Tax Act had an expiration tag on those additional new brackets we got that effectively reduced many folks' tax bill by, you know, anywhere between 1% and 3%, and by splitting, you know, and inserting three more brackets into the existing three, or adding three more, I should say. So it gave us six. And but beyond that, when you get on out to 2007, 2027 is when we're going to have fan hitting the proverbial crap, because we will have run out of the discretionary budget that remains. We're spending through it pretty rapidly even now, but it's going to be gone by the time we get to 27, 28, 29, somewhere in that range. And you know, we talked about, and we go visit the U.S. debt clock as of late quite a bit, and I would suggest to you that that's got a lot of information on it that I think you may not find it as interesting if it didn't depress you. But when you look at the amount of debt and other negative information that's reported on the U.S. debt clock, it's scary. I mean, that's all you can say. And you know, I every time I check that thing, it's like your blood pressure goes up when you realize how much each of our share is of the debt clock. And then it's got some other information on it that's interesting. If you look at the time machine and click the 2027 budget showdown, it's got three different categories. It shows what the CBO thinks the national debt will be at that time. It shows the OMB, excuse me, that's the Office of Management and Budget. Those are both governmental bodies. And then it shows the U.S. debt clock's own projections, which is this site that is tracking this. And I, you know, it's interesting when you see or you discuss the different economic outlooks and, you know, what factors these assorted economists that work for these groups are looking at. But I find it remarkable that, you know, the U.S. national debt, according to CBO, is only going to be about 39, and I say only with tongue in cheek, it's only going to be about 39.7 trillion by then. And OMB says it's going to be 40, a little over 40 and a half trillion by then. U.S. debt clock is saying, no, you're both wrong. It's going to be closer to 45 trillion. Well, $5 or $6 trillion is a big difference, right? I mean, we can't think back so far where we can remember when the entire deficit was only $6 trillion. That's been a while ago. In fact, I'm guessing without looking that it probably be somewhere back in the early 90s, maybe, would be my guess. But in any event, this three-way comparison between CBO, OMB, and U.S. debt clock is telling, because it shows, you know, basically three different numbers for every one of the measures. And again, I couldn't tell you which one's more realistic. It's just, if I was a betting man, I think I'd be counting on the non-governmental choice of the three, which would be the U.S. debt clock at current rates. And I think what's going on in large measure is CBO and OMB is not factoring in the rates that we're at being long term, and I don't know what their cutoffs are or what their you know, criteria is. But in any event, if you take a look at the front, the home page on this site, just chock full of information, and again, most of it will be nothing short of remarkable if you're just looking at it for the first time. And particularly if you look at the section under the unfunded debt and interest, which we were talking about on Friday, you know, the unfunded portion of the U.S.'s total debt is $103 trillion. So you add that to the almost $34 trillion. We're at $33.9 trillion now. So add that to the 103. That puts you up into the 134.5 trillion dollars in debt. And that's just, it's hard to fathom. And by the way, just the 33 trillion, or almost 34 now, that we will show on our nation's balance sheet, that is $259,941 of debt per each taxpayer. That's you and me. Think about that. That's money that theoretically has to be repaid at some point. I don't know what that assumption is. Now, it's also true that if you look at what makes that debt up, and I can't remember if it's discussed on this site or not, a lot of the debt is to, it's intergovernment, you know, it's from one agency to another, and it shows, you know, who holds the U.S. debt. Let's see, is trying to think where I saw that. I think it is on this site, but it's got so many little buckets to investigate. But, you know, the debt is not all to external parties. You know, they've got it broken down between foreign governments that own our treasury bonds, and then, you know, assorted agencies of the government have borrowed from the Fed. They borrowed from different budgets. You know, I know we've tapped Social Security for pretty much all it had years ago. And so if you theoretically went to look at the Social Security box, let's say it's got a safety deposit box somewhere, you're going to find a lot of IOUs in there. You're not going to find near as much cash as what the trust fund should have, because assorted borrowings over the years have pretty much tapped it out. But in any event, spend some time on the debt clock. It's definitely worth understanding what it's about. And again, if it doesn't get you motivated to get your retirement money. Your retirement money is kind of special, right? I mean, one, you want to count on it being there. Secondly, you're up against some new math on the longevity risk involved with all the life-extending technologies and medicines that have come out recent times. You know, the average male now will live to age 85, 86, according to the IRS life expectancy tables. The average female is 87 to 88 in life expectancy. And so when somebody tells me, well, you know, gee, I've got $1 million in my 401 account, and I say, well, you know, you're behind, they, for some reason, have thought that that's plenty of money. But, you know, what you don't realize is one major illness could wipe out a significant chunk of those funds if you don't have perhaps some chronic illness or long-term health care coverage. And so, you know, there are strategies for dealing with that without actually buying insurance or long-term health care insurance. You know, you can add riders to other cash value policies. So there's ways to catch up, there's no doubt. And then if you don't need it, you haven't poured your money down a drain, because long-term health care coverage is anything but inexpensive. So in any event, you know, I look at people that think they've got $1 million in retirement accounts, they're all pre-tax, and I ask them, well, gee, when you start taking the money out, and you hope you have to, because of the, if nothing else, the required minimum distributions that will be mandated, I don't know what that number will change to. It just changed recently, I believe it was earlier this year, and it, you know, depends on when you were born now. It's not the same number for everybody, but in terms of the whether it's a 72-year-old start or a commencement, or whether it might be as late as I believe age 75. But bottom line is, what do you think the tax rates are going to be when you turn 75? I mean, all of us obviously are a different age now, but you know, in my case at 63, if I fast forward 12 years, I'm going to tell you right now, the tax rates are going to be markedly higher. They have to be. It's the simple math. Go look at the video on our resource page of Representative Swikert from Arizona that has some wonderful charts, beautiful charts that he flashes through in his speech to an empty chamber of Congress. It's like, why does anybody care in Congress, right? You're talking about cutting our spending, right? Or are you talking about raising taxes, or both? And as he explains in that presentation, which it's only about a 10-minute video, I think, go take a listen. It's remarkable. And in any event, you know, we run out of money is his point. It's just math. And he says, I don't care if you raise taxes, I don't care if you cut spending. You know, the Democrats want to raise taxes, the Republicans talk about cutting spending, but neither party are talking about it to an extent that it moves the needle at all. I mean, literally at all. And it's kind of scary that we're in the situation we are, and it's so near term. I mean, again, it's going to hit us here before. But by the way, I aired a bit. I was just checking that video. It's a 30-minute video. It's still not long. Well worth the education. If you don't want to hear it from me, go hear it from Representative Swikert. I've got the solution, though, for you. And the solution is, at least with respect to your retirement money, is let's get over to the Roth. The Roth will avoid your tax rate. I don't care what the tax rate is, zero tax rate times any amount of money. I'm sorry, I should have said, I don't care what your RMDs are. First of all, they may not be RMDs if It's a Roth 401, I believe. I don't think the latest tax act changed that. That's not a mandatory number. But even if it is, the zero tax rate being applied will still calculate out to zero tax off of those funds. So I suggest it's worth a conversion. Pay the conversion tax while the tax brackets are on sale. Literally, the tax rates, tax bracket, think of it as being on sale. And then also, collaterally, before you do the conversion, consider investing in this wonderful asset class called real estate private partnership syndications involving apartments. Because if you get your money rolled over and invested first before you do the conversion, your cost to convert goes way down, because the way we value funds, the tax base for the Roth conversion, is subject to significant fair market value discounts because of the private company nature of those investments. You're not buying shares in Apple. These are small private partnerships, usually run by, you know, people that have done this before. They've been to the finish line before in most cases. And in fact, if you're looking at one where that's not the case, I would urge restraint and caution. I would only invest with a syndicator that's been to the finish line before, and specifically on the type of transaction, be it a high degree of rehab that's involved or changing the character of the property to bring the rents up to market, the amenities up to market. You want somebody that's done that before. There's no reason for you to be the investing with the guinea pig unless you just like the excitement of living that away. I wouldn't. I would invest with somebody that's already done it. And if they haven't, wait 10 minutes and another train will be coming through the station, depending on which groups you're aligned with. And if you're not aligned with any group, talk to me. We can tell you what our experience has been, having been members of assorted real estate investor / mentor groups. Happy to share those insights with you. Let's go ahead and take our second break now. We'll be back here momentarily with more of this Sunday's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA.
Did you know 76% of Americans are concerned they won't have a secure retirement? BeAPlanner.com shows how private real estate partnerships can increase current cash flow and retirement savings. There are three options to control your 401 and IRAs, but only one will double your retirement lifestyle. BeAPlanner.com for the Be a Planner show with CPA Nathan Ross.
Hey, if you'd like to contact Nathan for questions during the show today or during the week, you can text him at 713-581-0195, 713-581-0195, or you can send an email to nathan@npross.com, nathan@npross.com.
Have you recently joined a real estate mentor program? BeAPlanner.com shows how real estate investments combined with proactive tax planning can generate significant wealth. However, syndication terms for private real estate partnerships are complicated. They help you assess the benefits of ownership from A acquisition to E exit. A planner wants to know what they are signing up for. BeAPlanner.com with CPA Nathan Ross. BeAPlanner.com.
Is it easy? No, it ain't. Can I fix it? No, I can't. Well, I sure ain't gonna take it lying down. Will I make it? Maybe so. Will I give up? Oh, no. I'll be fighting till I'm 6 feet underground. I'm gonna woman up and take it like a man. I'm gonna buckle up, be tough enough to take control and make demands. Look like a woman, think like a man, be as good as or better than. Gotta woman up and take it like a man.
Okay, welcome back to the final segment of this week's Be a Planner show with Nathan Ross, CPA. And just before we went to the break, I was explaining the strategy of considering investing in some of the real estate private partnership syndications. If you've never done that, it can be a bit daunting, but again, that's why we're here. Connect with us and we'll see if we can't help you with the math involved with these transactions and you know, get you on your way to increasing your retirement wealth. And you know, most people that connect with us, there are exceptions, but most of them are behind on their retirement wealth. They know that, and but they're looking for ways to make up for lost time. And I know of no other asset class that can make up for lost time like investing in syndications with apartment buildings. And you know, there are other asset classes within the real estate, the commercial real estate market. The industrial sector is doing very well right now. But, you know, I'll tell you, I look at things like the office sector that at one time was doing well. And what you realize is that the unexpected can highlight the weaknesses. And you know, with office, I think the weakness is with technology, not everyone needs to go to a cubicle every day, right? In fact, very few people need to, and more companies have recognized that, and they're offering jobs that don't force you to come into the office. But in any event, that same dynamic does not exist with you needing a place to lay your head every night. Now, I'm sure, you know, we're sitting here in 2023. If you fast forward out to maybe 2050, who knows what technologies might have worked their magic in the residential market. You know, I mean, I don't know. You think the office developers 15, 20, 30 years ago had any inkling at all that technology might someday supplant their investment, their bread and butter? I mean, when you look at all the things that technology is doing, look at the whole artificial intelligence segment. Excuse me. Look at the inroads it's already made. I would hazard a guess that it wasn't 3 years ago where most people never heard the term artificial intelligence, and now it's replacing jobs, tangible jobs, right? And so it's amazing at times how fast technology can overtake or take over certain activities. I want to talk for the next few minutes. We've got just under 10 minutes left about a specific syndication. I noticed one out on the Realty Mogul site that I thought, wow, you know, if that hits the pro formas, that's a pretty nice projected return. But there's a transaction out there. It's an LA-based apartment building or project, apartment project, multiple buildings. And I anytime I see internal rate of return that's over, 16-17%, it gets my attention. And this project is projecting that to be 23.4%. And then the equity multiple was a bit higher than what I think of as the gold standard. Their target equity multiple is 1.84. I would tell you, using the Rule 72, we'd like to see our money double every 3.6 years, I believe is the number. It's 0.0463 per month. We want to see our money double. That's at a 20% compounded rate of return. And this exceeds those metrics. And it's a 36-month hold estimated. And, of course, they've got asterisks and disclaimers all over these numbers on the IRR, on the equity multiple, on the hold period. And so all they're trying to tell you is if these things occur, this is where we would end up. But a 1.84 equity multiple is about a 10% higher number than we would tell you we would seek in the good old days. Now, here as of late, this is well over anything that you've probably seen if you're looking at these transactions at the moment. But in any event, the investment highlights on this profile that we have out on Realty Mogul, I can tell you the first one, they show attractive target return profile. It's based on a 36-month holding period and a 4.5% exit cap rate. Well, what have we talked about before? All the transactions that are showing exit cap rates of anything less than 6%, you're likely not going to get your money back, would be my suggestion, unless you overcapitalize on the front end. Run the sensitivity. Go look at what, a 5.5 to 6, maybe 6.5 exit cap rate does to your projection. It basically makes your return, at disposition disappear. So, again, if that's what it takes to get my target IRR to 23.4% and a 1.84 equity multiple, that makes us what look like a shiny object on the front end here not so attractive. And it amazes me that developers will continue to put these types of transactions out there. And it's not a knock against Realty Mogul. I understand Realty Mogul isn't the syndicator involved, but this is why you really want someone perhaps that understands these transactions. And by the way, we haven't even gotten into the operating agreement. I'm sure we'd find some real doozies. If we got somebody trying to tell us they're going to do a 4.5% exit cap, boy, I can't wait to see what else they have in their operating agreements. Probably all manner of goodies for the syndicator, for the sponsor. They do talk about the experience of this company. It's got 23 completed projects to date. That's wonderful. And maybe they're just planning on one more. And with these rates or projections, I guess maybe they retire. I don't know. I just find it amazing that they would be projecting some of these numbers, but it's all predicated on a 4.5% exit cap rate. That would mean none of those metrics would get likely would see the light of day. Let's see. I was going to hone in on what the fees were. I'm sure the fees are equally. Let's see here. Well, permits and fees, I'm not sure that's. It's got the syndicator's fees in it. I rather doubt it, but it's $765,000. I'm sure. Well, let's see. Maybe this. I probably should have started with how many units this project was. Let's see here. No, that was their most recent project was 60 units. So maybe this isn't that large of a project, and if that's the case, it's 43-unit multifamily, so it's not that big, and that would explain why the fees are only $765,000. Let's take a look at on the financials. Well, there's a developer fee of $402,000 on the front end. There's a developer contingency of $287,000. What else? So I guess the total sponsor fees probably are that $765,000, which on 43 units, that's not an insignificant amount of money. What does that work out to? 765 divided by 43. That's $17,000, almost $18,000 per unit just in developer fees. And that's on top of the promote, which let me see if I can quickly tell you how much the promote is. I'm sure it's got to be at least on a project this small, it's got to be at least 30%. Let me see if I can find distributions. Here we go. So it's an 85-15 split, 15% going to the developer. It's a carried interest, so they're not putting any money up apparently. And then let's see, do they scale that up past 15 at some point? If they hit a certain internal rate of return, I don't see that they do. But in any event, this is just another example of how you've got to understand the terminology, the math metrics, to determine when something isn't as it appears. And this would be a transaction that I would stay away from unless you're just really a positive, upbeat person on the markets and interest rates and think the interest rates are going down and cap rates are coming down with them. But in any event, well, thanks for tuning in. We hope you can make it back with us next Friday, or this coming Friday, rather, 11 a.m. here on KSEV.
Thanks for listening, and join us again next week for another edition of Be a Planner Show with Nathan Ross, CPA.